Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Good day and good morning and good evening and good afternoon and good night. I don't know. And what else? Good twilight. Let's pick some time. Good dawn. Good dusk. We could pick them all, right? I guess so. Whatever. Welcome to a new episode of The Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, your host, AP Fuchs. And here we are. We're coming in really close to the end of season three. I think we got six, seven or so-ish episodes left. Anyway, point is, I've been thinking a little bit about season four. I had an idea for it a long time ago, and I think it's the route we're going to go with it. There's going to be, like I said, a pause. I said this in a previous episode. There's going to be a pause between season three and four. It's going to be a little bit of a slightly longer pause because I do need to get some books out to you guys. So we got to work on that too. That's important. But besides that, yeah, like we know that story time can't go on forever. I mean, I could in that I could put all my work out here on a podcast and yeah, we can go for season over season over season. But the point is, yeah, we definitely have a season four. As for a possible season five, that part I'm not sure yet. We're going to have to wait and see. Season four is going to be an experimental season. I'm going to do something different than what we've been doing, but it's still a story stuff in a new way, and you're still getting a story out of it, so don't worry about that. But the point is, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a different approach, and if it works, we may continue into season five with that. If it doesn't work in terms of what I hope for it, then, well, we tried, we had a fun season anyway, and that's that. So, and then we could always do on some other stuff, because I've been considering doing a host show. Like, you know, you have someone on and you talk and, you know, topical or whatever it might be and have a discussion and hopefully people find it interesting, you know, that kind of stuff. So we'll see. But in the meantime, yeah, thanks for tuning into this episode and let's get into story before we get into the main event. And by main event, well, you know what that's going to be referencing once you get to story time. See you then. So we're in story before the story and the season. As if you're joining us, we are doing how stories are part of everyday life ever. And so I'm kind of running out of options here in terms of what to talk about, even though there's more and more you can still go on. But what I wanted to talk about actually what came up by accident, and that's this. Last night it just so happened that I had a dream, which we covered in a previous episode, which is a method of storytelling, and it was a dream that made me very angry. And like in the dream, I was very angry. I didn't act out or say out or, you know, speak out. It's just, you know, a dream, you're kind of in observation mode to a point. And so, but anyway, the point is it made me angry. And I woke up angry. I was mad, like legit mad. And obviously I knew it was based on the dream. So I knew it wasn't like actual anger in that context. But anyway, went to go have coffee, you know, and about 10 minutes later or so, I finally came down and felt fine. But it got me thinking the impact of stories, right? Because what I was experiencing was my dream, which of course is a story, resonated. In this case, it resonated and created anger. And then in real life, too, we have stories that happen that create same feelings, similar feelings. But the point is that a story, whether it's true story or a false story, and by false story, I'm referring to like fiction, meaning like it's made up, it's interesting that our bodies and our minds are attuned to this ability to create feeling and emotion based upon what we're either reading or listening or watching or whatever it might be in terms of the method of that we're receiving the story in. And even in the case of a dream story, right? And it's the fact that our bodies decide, I'm going to feel this way about the story, you know, I'm going to either jump at this scary moment, or I'm going to laugh at this certain thing, or I'm going to cry because this part of the story is super sad, or whatever the case may be. It just shows that like we have to have them. Like it triggers something inside us. It triggers emotions. It triggers thoughts. It gives us ponderance. It gives us times of reflection. It gives us times of frustration. It could be good emotions, darker emotions. Either way, we get involved in these stories. We actually get like personally invested in these things, no different than my dream. It was a story that was it was completely artificial, but it made me mad and it came over into the real world. And so what's amazing is just the fact that stories can manipulate you like that. And I'm not saying manipulation in a bad way, more so just that it can take you for a spin. It's like a roller coaster, eh? And that's exactly why we love going to the movies, for example. That's why we love reading a certain author, because they trigger something inside us that keeps us exciting and thrilled and intrigued and involves us and sucks us in. Anyway, the point is, stories are just obviously some kind of drug for us, and we need to have them, and we need to let them create these things inside us so we could basically go around saying, hey, I just experienced life. Because at the end of it, that's all we're going to say at the end is, I experienced life. Because no one's getting out of here alive, right? So, yeah, that's what I just wanted to touch on, was just simply the fact that the impact of emotion that the stories can create. And the fact that it was, in my case, it was fed by a real event, which was the dream, because a dream occurred, right? So that's real. The content of the dream, of course, was artificial, but the point is the dream occurred, and it created a story narrative that created anger inside. And that is, to me, is amazing. At the same time, too, it kind of makes you feel a little bit helpless, because you don't know what story you're going to be told next that could evoke whatever feeling. It could be a wonderful feeling, or it could be a terrible one. So mind your stories, mind what you put in your ears, mind what you put in front of your eyes, right? Because as I always say, what goes into yourself is eventually going to come out at some point. So anyway, thanks for tuning in for Story Before the Story. Now let's get to the main event. And again, I'm saying main event. Why? Because, well, you'll see. Bar fight. The fight broke out at Dave's bar a little after 12:30 a.m. Selena was alone. After trying to go to bed early and tossing and turning for a couple of hours, she'd hoped she'd have something on hand in her apartment for a nightcap. She didn't, and a sudden craving for pecan whiskey took over, so she threw on her coat and boots and headed to Dave's. She figured between the walk there, a shot or two, and the walk back, she'd be good and tired and fall asleep no problem. It was on her second shot of sweet pecan whiskey did the guy sitting on the stool next to her get a wooden chair to the back of his head. What he did, or whom he pissed off, she didn't know. All she knew was the sickening smack of his forehead slamming into the bar top, the glazed look in his eyes as he tried to regain some semblance of composure, then the thick thud of a large fist clocking him across the face and sending him sprawling to the floor. Selena took in the assailant. About 6'5", a solid 280, wearing blue jeans and a thick plaid jacket that made him appear even bigger. The handful of scars that crisscrossed his face told her this wasn't the attacker's first rodeo. One scar ran up his forehead and all along the bald patch on the top of his skull, while the remainder of his long black hair sat scraggled on his head in a terrible skullet. All he had to do was point a thick finger at the bartender to buy the man's silence. He caught Selena looking at him. What? Nothing, she said, then double-checked that her shot glass was empty. Too bad. She could go for a third. Good as nothing, Scald said, then turned and walked away. Selena looked at the guy on the floor. The poor sap. Whatever he did, it didn't deserve a public humiliation like that. Well, maybe not nothing, Selena said. Scald stopped and turned around. What's that? The place went quiet. Oh, nothing, Selena said. Just some dude with a bad haircut causing trouble. Scald squinted. You're lucky you're a lady, or you'd get something too. From you? Please. I'd never want to get it from you. Scald took a step toward her, and one of his buddies stopped him with a hand to the arm. She's not worth it, man, the guy said. Scald pressed his lips together. Nah, let him come over here. I'm worth it, believe me, Selena said with the sexiest grin she could muster, despite sex being the furthest thing from her mind. Scully came over to her. What do you want, baby? I'm easy to please. Tell me, he said, though it was clear they were talking about two separate things. Just your face eating my fist? I see. It's like that, eh? Freaky. Nice. Scully leaned closer. So did Selena. Just as her cheek brushed his, she hooked two fingers under his chin, digging deep into the soft flesh. She pushed so hard up, she knocked his head back. A second later, she was on her feet. In the moment Skull had righted himself, she push-kicked him into the table behind. He landed flat on his back, smashing the glass of mugs of those who were sitting there. Quickly, Skull's cronies turned toward her and made a charge. There were a half dozen of them. Selena ran in between them and kicked one, then did a spinning back kick into another. One guy came in from the side with a wide right hook. She ducked, then gave him an uppercut before doing a turning kick to his knee and sending him to the floor. Sensing someone behind her, she did a spinning back fist and cracked the guy's cheekbone. Another came in, and he received a swift kick to the nuts. The moment he doubled over, she brought her heel down in an axe kick to the back of his neck. The guy flattened. She ran on top of him and did a flying sidekick into another dude about to lunge at her with a knife. She got near the door. Voices shouted. Then chaos reigned, the whole place erupting into a brawl. Fists connected with faces and stomachs while other guys were picked up and tossed over shoulders. A beer bottle flew at her. She dodged it to the side and it shattered against the wall behind her. She didn't know what threw it. To the side, an unmistakable click as the switchblade snapped open. The big black dude swung in with a knife. Selena caught his arm and grabbed his wrist and twisted his limb into an arm lock, forcing him to drop the blade. She brought her knee up into his face twice, then used her hold on his arm to spin him around and kick him in the chaotic crowd. A dart pierced her shoulder. She yanked it out, then threw it back into the crowd, not caring who she hit. Skull had appeared beside her and got a shot into her ribs. She took the blow, then fired back with a crescent kick across his chin. Then, as his neck cranked to the side from the impact, she came in from the other side with the same kick, but with the opposite leg. Skull's head jerked the other way, and she could only imagine the strain on his neck. She grabbed him by the back of his collar and dragged him over to the ATM and sent him face first right into the screen. Looking back at the bar, half the place was already either unconscious or had quit. A few guys threw fists in the corner. One chick beat her hands against the guy's back while his attention was on someone else. Skull had groaned and started to pull away from the machine. Selena kicked his head back into it, and he slumped to his knees and didn't move. A rush of dizziness from the adrenaline dump came over her. Glass shattered somewhere in the room. Wood cracked. Men beat on each other. Women beat on other women. Sirens sounded far away, somewhere on the other side of the door. Selena took her bow and headed out from Dave's. Sometimes all you needed was a drink and a good old-fashioned bar fight. Thank you for sticking around to after the credits, and I'm going to do this one as a plug. I'm being dead honest, this is 100% advertisement, okay? But I'm saying, asking, please consider if you're a superhero or a monster fan, please consider giving my books a shot. If you love, like, high-octane adventure, whether in either of those genres, that's what you're going to get. Those books go from, like, go, start to finish. It's an action flick, in that context, straight through. So if you like your fast-paced fiction, lots of excitement, lots of trouble, lots of drama, lots of go, you're going to get that in my work. And so I'm asking, please check out my books. I'm giving you some free stories here on this podcast. I hope it's enough to tickle your fancy. And I know it kind of sounds like a desperate author thing to be like, oh, buy my stuff. But at the same time, we kind of do that all the time, just indirectly, right? We put up ads or whatever. But I'm going to talk to you straight and say, please buy my books. So there you go. That's what I'm asking. I hope you do. I mean, even an ebook. I got some short stories out there. They're 99 cents. Cheapest ebooks are $3. Other books are $5, but they cap at $5. So either way, I mean, that's the ebook version. And then in terms of paperback stuff, if you're a paperback person, you know, 10 to 15 beans, depending on the book. So either way, please support. It's a great way too to support this podcast and to help out in that way. And also, tell your friends. Tell everybody. Listen to this podcast. Get free stories and maybe buy some books on the way. All right. Thanks for listening to this commercial. Thanks for supporting this nerd. Thanks for all you do. And we'll see you next episode. Cheers.